this is Penn Jillette, Penn Radio, Penn Jillette, Minnesota. I'm in Minnesota, and Michael Goudeau is in Las Vegas, Nevada. So this is really high technology because we are talking to one another, and we're really far apart. It's like even as amazing as, well, the telephone. This is great. How you doing, Michael Goudeau?
I'm doing very well, sir. It's a lovely day here in Vegas.
Oh, it's lovely here in Minnesota. It's like green and things grow, and it's like a reasonable temperature. You can be outside. Get this, Goudeau. You can be outside for like a half an hour without passing out.
Really?
It's astonishing. Yeah.
You get bitten by stuff, though, right? Things bite you.
I didn't get bitten by anything, although I did have my ass thrown off public radio, but I was not bitten by anything. See, I'm out here to pimp. I wrote this play called Love Tapes,
yeah,
which I don't talk about because it's only played L.A. where we're not broadcast, and now it's playing Minnesota.
With Mr. Banks.
I wrote it with Mr. Banks, who's known to people as the head writer on SpongeBob SquarePants, and more importantly, as Billy the Mime in The Aristocrats. And we wrote this play about, the Steve Vai tape. Steve Vai, monster guitar player, Zappa and so on, he got this videotape sent to him by a fan, and this fan wanted very much to date him. Is that the word we can use? Yeah, date him. So she did a series of acts on this video, and Steve Vai, being a gentleman, made copies of the video and sent it to all his friends. And I get to see one of these videos, and she is disgusting, pathetic, and horrible, and I thought she was a hero. I just thought she was a hero because if you aren't willing to be humiliated and pathetic, you don't deserve to be in love. So we wrote this show called Love Tapes, and now it's opening out here in Minneapolis. And I came out this week to, sell it and do interviews and stuff. So I'm going on public radio, government radio, radio paid for by the United States of America. That is to say, tax money. That is to say, they get some money from NPR. That is to say, some of the money is out of your pocket. Dear listener to CBS, dear listener to Free FM, dear listener to 866-570-PEN, on this station, this woebegone, my-ass, Garrison's Keeler sucko station. They had me on out of the state fair, right?
Yeah.
So I start talking. And it says in there's an audience there, and it says in the booth, it says, no swearing, no making fun of the audience. So I said, who the hell would make fun of the goddamn audience? I mean, the audience seems terrific. They're just fairgoers. So there's about 200 people. I walk out, I got a mic, and I got a pink cowboy hat. I got this big-ass pink cowboy hat that I'm wearing. My wife's there. I'm in great spirits. This carny's there. I'm like in hog heaven. So we start talking, right? And as we're talking, it's a female host, and she says, I want to flash you, and she's going to give me some information. I said, you're going to flash me? And I start going, topless NPR stars over here. And I start giving the crowd much bigger and say, she's going to be taking her top off. She'll be topless. And by the way, in my play, Love Tapes, and I give the information of where it's playing and so on, I say, we have nude hula hooping. Who likes nude hula hooping? Okay? So it goes on like that. Everything's going beautifully. But when I say she's going to be topless, in the control room, they pick up the phone and they go back to the studio and go, are we still on the air? Are we still on the air? Did you dump us? And I'm looking at them going, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. And so I keep going. And then she asks me, are there any collector videotapes, fan videotapes of Penn and Teller that no one has seen, like just your closest friend? And I say to her, well, yes, Mary, as a matter of fact, there are. And I say, one Christmas, we did a special tape that we just sent out to like Lou Reed, David Letterman, Howard Stern, just the famous people of our friends. And what we did was we took, have you ever seen the thing where you have a rope and you put a ring on it? And then you pull the ring off the rope without breaking the ring or the rope. It's a magic trick. And she said, yes, we have. And I said, we did. And at that point, all the phones start going, bah, 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 bah. And everybody's crazy because Penn's talking about pierced nipples and dental floss on a public station, a station that I pay for. Okay? And then there's two points of view on this. I say, I'm talking about my play, and I say, of course, no one gives a good goddamn. And when I say good goddamn, I continue on. And I do another 3.5-4 minutes of interview with, I believe, some of the most brilliant stuff that's ever been said on radio. Just beautiful stuff. But at home, Okay, at home, people listening, because a friend of mine was listening, they hear Penn go, this is the best part of it, they hear Penn go, nobody gives a good goddamn, dun, 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 bum, 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 and they go into low rider, go a little slower, dot, 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 goddamn got on. But the rest of 3.5 minutes, nothing. And they let me talk out there in a pink cowboy hat, humiliated and pathetic, like the woman in my play. There I am talking about nude hula hoops and dental floss through. So that's my sad story. So Lake Wobegon, Garrison Keillor, they can kiss my ass. That's what I think of them. So what do you think, Godot?
That's a delightful story. We have photos of you in the pink hat we can put up on our website.
Yeah, we can get photos of the pink hat up on the website. All you've got to do is remind Emily. She's right, got okay. Plenty. She was out there. The Minnesota is great because I've been thinking about Alicia Keys. I mean, Bob Dylan is so close here. You know, Hibbing, Minnesota, is the home of the largest open ore mine in the country. And that's what the sign says. You're entering Hibbing, home of the largest open iron ore mine in the world, right? And then, birthplace of Bob Dylan. So I've been out here, and I've been doing a ton of interviews. I was up, your time, I was up at 5 a.m. On the radio talking about, you know, sports stations and stuff. What's the sports tie-in with your play, Penn? Well, there's hula hoops. And there's naked women. Naked women, hula hoops, what more do you want? Oh, good. Well, we'll be selling it here on the rock. You know, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So that's what I've been doing all day, talking about this. But I got to fly out here and go to the Minnesota State Fair on Tuesday night. Yeah. And it was just fabulous. Because the only sideshow that's still operating in the United States of America, a real 10-in-1 show by C.W. Crist and Ward Hall, is playing there with on the inside, it's all live. She's got four legs and she kicks a soccer ball. She's on the inside. And it's all there and it's all happening. And Emily, my wife, had never met Ward and Crist, and she'd never seen a real 10-in-1. For those of you in New York, this show was out when you had the Meadowlands Fair a few weeks ago. They were out there too. So some of you must have seen that. 866-570-PEN 7366. If someone wants to call in, I haven't given you anything to call in about because I'm in Minnesota. And in Minnesota, you think about different things. 866-570-PEN 7366. Have I told you how much I hate Garrison Keillor? Have I mentioned that?
You didn't hit him or anything, did you?
I didn't hit him. I didn't say a word to him. I didn't even meet Garrison Keillor this time. But I want to tell you that the fact that I was thrown off his station annoys me. I feel that somehow he is culpable in some way. Speaking of being thrown off stations, speaking of dump buttons, speaking of things you shouldn't say, tomorrow, live from L.A., I'm flying right after I finish this show, I'm flying from Minnesota to L.A., because you know, Godot, I'm a globetrotter. I really am. Yeah. I'm a globetrotter. Yeah. I'm going to be in L.A. tomorrow, and I am going to have on the show tomorrow, and you might want to write this down in your calendar, if your calendar goes at least to tomorrow, you might want to write down Bob Saget. Yes, Bob friggin' Saget will be on the air tomorrow. The dirtiest of all the aristocrats, America's funniest home videos, Mr. Clean, white bread American, who is so dirty, he makes Red Fox blush, and that's not easy. One of the reasons, because Red Fox is dead. He's going to be on the show. He's going to be on the show
it's
tomorrow.
Going to be great.
So it's going to be an amazing show. We're going to have Saget to finish up the week. So if you've got any questions, any business that's still hanging from Monkey Tuesday. Okay, now you can stop it. I can't give you the wave off here. Fine, we're done. Any questions from the Tuesday of Monkeys, or any questions from Howie Mandel yesterday, left over? 866-570-PEN. That's 7366 if you don't have numbers on your phone. If you don't have letters on your phone, it's 7366. 866-570-7366. I'm trying to think of what I was going to say today. Well, I was going to mention being thrown off NPR. I was standing there. I was sitting in a chair with a cowboy hat on, right? Cowboy hat on. And I was broadcasting, and then all of a sudden, it's Lowrider being sent from another station, and I'm out there talking to just the people who are live. Not to say that the live audience that's in front of me, that I don't love them dearly in a very personal sexual way. I do. All of them. But I thought I was talking on the radio and I wasn't, which is what the big joke is now, right? Garrison Keillor has broken into my house, taken over the slammer, and now it's just Godot. They're just playing music Free FM, and I'm not even on yet.
Garrison and I are making out.
I haven't given anybody anything to call about, have I?
Well, you know, I'm surprised no one's called about the being thrown off the public radio. I mean, this is radio you pay for. That is radio you pay for. This is radio that pays you. But that's radio you pay for,
yeah.
And you're doing it for free, and you're paying them money, and they still threw you off.
Yeah, I'm paying them my money. Yeah, it sucks. And they threw me off for goddamn, which I believe I can say goddamn on Free FM. I can say God. Damn. Oh, God damn. God damn it, I can say God damn. Tomorrow, after I do the...
You seem like this is bugging you.
It's bugging me. I was wearing a pink cowboy hat. And wow. There's nothing that makes me unhappy about a big pink cowboy hat, except when I'm wearing it in vain. You see what I mean? I thought I was on the radio in a big pink cowboy hat. So instead of being a guy on the radio in a pink cowboy hat, I was just a goddamn loser in a pink cowboy hat. They threw me off. So please, if anybody listens to this show, and also listens to Prairie Home Companion, if you do that. Kill yourself. But if you don't listen to that show anymore. It's a bad show. I'm going to take a phone call. I want to get to this other thing. I'm doing Bill Maher's show tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm doing Real Time. And the day before you do Real Time, you get a list of all the questions and the other people that are going to be on with you and stuff. And I thought I would just read to you what's going to be discussed. Because just so you know, it's all talked out ahead of time, what we're going to say. And I just wanted to see if I could get any advice, what we're going to do. We'll go through the questions. There's seven of them. And I'll take line two in the meantime. How you doing, Mike? What's up, Mike?
Hey, Ben. How's it going?
Never been better, boss. How are you?
Not too bad. I wanted to comment...
On me being thrown off the air?
What? Hello?
Are you going to comment on me being thrown off the air?
No, well, I wanted to talk about Howie Mandel. I was I tried to get through yesterday, but you weren't taking calls, I guess.
Yeah, okay. What's up?
I wanted to say that I'm a huge fan of his. I think he's a hysterical guy. I quote Howie Mandel on Ice all the time.
Sure.
I just wanted to know why he did what he did to his hair.
Means why he shaved his head?
Yes.
I won't answer for Howie. I'll just answer for Howie.
Howie's not okay. Here. Let's talk about him in any way we want.
Sure. We can say anything we want. You know, Johnny Cash only wore black because of the injustice in the world.
Right.
And Howie Mandel has sworn not to grow his hair out until there is nothing but injustice in the world. he's gonna stay bald until every man, woman, and child on planet Earth is under horrible oppression.
No, so I think, like 3 months then?
3 months, yeah. We're on the way. Really, 3 months is what it'll take, I imagine, this year from a Katrina. I think he just, he fancies himself to be kind of outside of fashion, and he wanted to really change his look from the goofy guy on St. Elsewhere, and I think he did it successfully. So now he's a guy, maybe he just did it to make himself easier to parody on Saturday Night Live.
That could be.
Maybe that was his thing.
Maybe his hair's falling out. Have you thought about that one?
Hair falling out?
It could be.
That could have been a better look for him than what he's going on with the bald and the soul patch.
You don't like the soul patch? You don't like the bald?
Well, I think if there's going to be one spot on your face or entire head that has hair, it should be the top.
Oh, yeah, what you think? How do you wear your hair in facial hair?
Well, I used to have a goatee, but it looked so incredibly terrible that I had to shave it off.
And do you have a full head of hair?
Yes, I do.
Now, if you started going bald, would you go with that kind of bozo look with the top bald and the stuff around the edges? Or would you do a comb over or would you shave your head like a man?
Well, I have an uncle who's going bald, and he would have the Bozo the Clown look, if he didn't cut his hair very, very short.
So, you
so
like,
he's not entirely bald, but he has like a crew cut for the rest of his head.
I mean, would you prefer
what
that?
Do.
You'd prefer that on Howie Mandel?
Yeah, you know, I think it would look better.
Yeah. So you didn't like Midnight Oil at all?
No. No, no.
I suggest that you think a little bit more about things other than Howie Mandel's hair.
Well, it's, you know, I have to admit it. Sometimes when I'm watching the show, it's hard to concentrate on his head when I see the 26 cases.
I see. So it's the order that you think about is the 26 cases, then Howie Mandel's head, and then the beautiful women. Is that right?
Usually, yeah.
You have good priorities, sir. You won't end up. You won't end up crying in a hotel. No, not you. And you also won't end up getting your ass thrown off NPR. Rat bastard.
Oh, by the way, Penn.
Yeah.
I wanted to let you know that the stories about the dental floss got dumped on Free FM as well.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah.
It really did. The story
yeah.
of the dental floss.
Yeah.
Got dumped on Free
FM? The beginning
FM?
Of it. I'm actually afraid to talk about what it was because I don't want to get dumped myself.
But could you follow the story of it?
Well, I pieced it together when you mentioned the body part and the dental floss. I figured out what you were talking
we
about.
We did this thing. We did this thing on Broadway. We also did it on Letterman, where we took my ear piercing. I had a pierced ear. It's healed up since, and I took dental floss with a needle, and I put the needle through the hole in my ear, thread the dental floss through, then have a woman from the audience hold both ends, and then go and pull it through. And what we thought was for a special Christmas tape for our friends. That we would do that exact same trick, but instead of using my earlobe pierced, we would go on the radio, which we did, went on the radio, and we asked for any women that had other body parts pierced, and we did that in a videotape, and we sent it to Lou Reed, David Letterman, and Howard Stern. David Letterman couldn't watch it. It bothered him too much. Lou Reed said it was the coolest thing he ever saw, and Howard Stern's wife caught him watching it, and he had to alibi it and say that I made him do it. So that's what all you need to know about those four people. Should I take another call, Jack, or go to break?
You should probably go to break. We got a, 10 seconds till break time. So
okay, well, we'll go to break. We got a lot to talk about. There's a few phone lines where I got guys that want to talk about me being kicked off NPR. We'll be back right after this on Penn Radio on the Free FM. And yeah, it was a nipple that was pierced. So what? Who cares? I'll be back. God damn it! Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on the Free FM, 866-570-PEN, 7366. Godot got a great idea during the break. He thinks of the next time that NPR, McDonald's radio, as we call it, has a pledge drive. We may do an anti-pledge drive right here. We may have the best stuff we've ever had, and then in between, we may spend a lot of time telling you what better ways you can spend your money than sending $10,000 to NPR to get a tote bag. We'll have all sorts of ideas there.
That's actually from one of our writers. That's one of our writers. One of our email fans, Amy.
Yeah.
That's from Amy. Amy's suggestion.
Amy suggested doing anti-pledge
drive. That, yeah.
Where's Amy out of? Do you know maybe we can
know.
Bring her in for the anti-pledge drive? She can answer the phones. People can call up. On line three, so-and-so has pledged not to give $100,000 to NPR ever. She could do that. She could take the phones. They could talk to the lovely Amy. And I think it's a good idea. 866-570-PEN, 7366. And we can do that, Amy. We can do that really soon because they have pledge drives all the time on NPR. As a matter of fact, that's all NPR. Oh, they also did this thing. I did another show on NPR here. I was just NPR. I was queer for the NPR this time up. And I did a zillion shows. And the first show I did was fabulous. Actually, the host of the show I got thrown off was also fabulous. And the producer, fabulous. It was back at the office where Garrison Keillor, who's jealous of my power, was sitting there with his hand on the button. But the people themselves were wonderful. I did this this morning show. And the woman talked about my This I Believe piece on NPR, where I did This I Believe, There Is No God. And she wanted to talk about how I had done this piece about, loving life and everything without a God and so on. And so she said, you did that piece in NPR. And I said, yes. And someone called up and asked about it. So she took the copy of it and she started reading it, you know. So she's reading what I wrote in front of me with her phrasing, and she's trying to get through it fast. So she's going, you know, I got my family, and I love my family very much, the family that raised me, the family I'm now raising, and I love them very much, and I have sunsets, and I have Hallmark cards. And that's the way she's going through it, like that, like quick and like cursory. And I'm thinking about Lenny Bruce, because Lenny Bruce, you know, got busted in New York City, although he was exonerated, and we were part of that. But anyway, he was busted in New York City, and what they did was they wouldn't let him do his act in front of the jury. So they put a police officer on the stand who had taken notes at the Lenny Bruce show, and that officer read Lenny Bruce's act from his notes, and Lenny Bruce said, I'm bombing and I'm going to go to jail because someone else is bombing with my act. And that's why I felt. She's going, there's no God. And she's going to go, oh, some Christians listening, and, you know, some militant religious, you know, person is listening and going, oh, so Penn Jillette said that. Huh? And I'm going, oh man, no, it's not. I didn't say it that way. It was a little bit of respect, and they were, anyway. So that's it. That was it. And I went to the agriculture building to see very large vegetables.
Right, that's great.
I'm very in love with really large vegetables.
Did you check the bottoms of the plates?
I didn't. I would have at other fair. What Cadeau's talking about is when you go to a state fair, if it's a smaller fair like a county fair, then you can turn the plates over and see the comments that the judges have made. Like, one of the comments was on the zucchini that we saw that didn't win a ribbon. We turned it over and the judge had written, these aren't zucchini. Person put cucumbers in and tried to pass them off. But there's stuff like, you know, a little bit more mealy than they should be, not good skin color. And they had 120 pound butter sculptures of the Minnesota Queens. Minnesota Fair Queens. There's these young women.
Sure.
I know what you mean. That would take even more butter. And they make these butter sculptures, these huge butter heads. They're called the butter heads.
Butter busts.
Yeah, I don't know. Butter busts, yeah.
Butter busts. Did you see this?
I dated her. I dated butter busts.
Somebody sent us a photo of a sock monkey dress from the Minnesota State Fair.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's gorgeous. It is just terrific, and you need to find it and buy it for your
wife. Wow, I see it. I see it. Oh, it's beautiful.
It is.
How did I miss that?
I don't know.
How did I miss that? Oh, that! For those of you who aren't clicking on every little thing that Cadeau sends me, do a search for sock monkey dress, because, you know, I wrote this book called Sock, so people send me all the sock money stuff, which is why my next book is called $50,000 in Cash. And it's a dress with sock monkeys. I would buy that so quickly for Emily if I could find it. Someone will be able to find that and tell me how much. That would be a good thing to buy. 866-570-PEN 7366. We are pledging. Please promise do not give any money to NPR. What else we got here? Anything else? Oh, they had a bust of angry Jesus. It was the most amazing.
Made out of butter?
Made out of like paper mache or something. But I've got a picture, and if you can convince Emily, we'll put it up on the website, because you can also see my pink hat. My pink hat and angry Jesus. Someone had made a bust of Jesus. But you know how Jesus, in like the 60s and 70s and stuff, you know, the Jews for Jesus and the One Way and the Godspell and the Jesus Christ Superstar was kind of the hippie Jesus, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He was kind of like the laid back, you know, wearing sandals and long hair and a beard Jesus. Well, I guess with this Left Behind thing and the rapture coming, there's now the angry fighting Jesus, you know? And now that there's like the Muslims have ratcheted up a bit, they're like people, not most of your believers, but they are nuts. Like, there are really good, sane, soft-spoken, pleasant atheists, and then there's me. And there's really sane, soft-spoken, polite Christians, and then there's these guys who think that Jesus comes back with like a machine gun in each hand and is kicking ass. Well, they had this bust of Jesus, you know, with the long flowing hair and the beard. That part was right. But on his face was this, ah, ah, I'm love Jesus and I'm mad. It's been 2,000 years. Ah, I'm not coming back. Ah, rapture. And that was wonderful. And they had also jams. And all the jams and jellies were behind glass. And it was so, so terribly sad.
Because glass?
Behind glass. It was glass counters. And behind there, you could see the jams and the canned asparagus and the jellies. But you couldn't get near them, probably because people like me would steal them. Because, you know, homemade jam. You know, Norman Borlaug's... they also asked me a lot about Norman Borlaug, which is great. Norman Borlaug saves 1 billion people from starvation. He wins a Nobel Peace Prize, right? He is the most important person who ever lived. And the poor bastard, his spokesman ends up being me. You know, tell us more about Norman Borlaug. I mean, how low can you sink that you have done all this in your life and then Penn Jillette, you know, ponytail and a pink cowboy hat, about to be cut off for saying goddamn and go to Lowrider. He's the one who's talking about Norman Borlaug. But Norman Borlaug's press person, for the book, he doesn't have a press person. He's too busy stopping people from starving. She sends me, you know, her own homemade jelly and sauerkraut. Do you get that from her?
I got some jelly. Yeah, it's great.
It's really good.
It's terrific.
So we're on the free FM talking about jelly. Really good jelly.
Were there giant pumpkins at the fair?
I'm sure there were. I didn't get there. But I have a book, How to Grow Gigantic Vegetables. And sometime, if I ever have time off, one of the hobbies I'd like to have is having gigantic vegetables. I would like that very much. really gigantic melons. I mean, melons, you know, just fully cantilevered, like really a 30-pound melon. I once saw, and this is what radio is all about, I once saw a 1,700-pound pumpkin. And if you've seen a really big pumpkin, call in 866-570-PEN, 7366.
I've seen the square watermelons.
Oh, in
Japan?
Japan, yeah.
And nobody's doing that with pumpkins. Yeah, they're growing watermelons in a box so that they grow and fill in the box and are actually square so that they'll fit into a Japanese refrigerator.
They do that with kittens too.
Yeah, it works really well with kittens.
Yeah, there's that website called Bonsai Kitten, where they have pictures of kittens that are grown in a jar, and it's really really funny. But Dean Cameron, good friend of mine and in Love Tapes now, he had a T-shirt with Bonsai Kitty on it, and he was in a health food store, and a woman came up and screamed at him. But that was cruel to even think about a kitten in a jar. I think about kittens in jars all the time.
I think that's a fine reason that you shouldn't date that woman. You know, that's another test. That's one of those test moments. If someone can't understand that you're kidding about a kitten being stuck in a jar, you shouldn't go out with them.
Yeah, just don't.
Just don't.
Yeah, she was very angry about all sorts of things. Let's take a phone call. Maybe it's a giant pumpkin. What do I know? I said pumpkin. See, I'm from Western Massachusetts, and I was brought up to say pumpkin. Pumpkin. But I try to say pumpkin. Let's take Matt. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, doing good, Penn. Good day.
Good day, Matt.
What's up, Matt?
Hey, calling, if you haven't done it yet, you're at the Minnesota State Fair. I'm from there, but I live in New York now.
Yeah.
You got to go over to the place where you can get all the milk you can drink.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Matt, I don't want to break your heart, bro.
I know what you're going to say.
You're
lactose intolerant.
No, I can drink milk. Don't say that about me.
Okay,
I'm a milk drinker. And the Bob Dylan new album, he says, I suck the milk from 1,000 cows. I'm just that Minnesota boy. But the price, Matt, $1.
Too much, huh?
$1.
Where have I been?
How much did you remember it as being?
I mean, it used to be a quarter when I was a kid. Now $1. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, and at one time it was 10 cents at the Minnesota. I mean, I never saw it then, but it was 10 cents at one time. Now it's $1, but it's all the milk you can drink, and it's really cool. I mean, this is the most beautiful thing in the world. Guys go up and belly up to the milk bar and just have a glass there, put down their buck, and just say, fill her up! Just drink that.
And conveniently located, I don't know if it's still the case, but they had a large chocolate chip cookie stand across the street from it. I don't know if that's still there.
Buckets of chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, they work together. And there's also one place where, I mean, this is how pathetic our culture's become. We're so far away from farming that kids have never seen a cow. So they have a cow there, and this cow, she just stands there, and kids line up one by one to milk her.
I did that.
Yeah, they got some slut cow that just all day stands there waiting to be milked by strangers. And they have like a little place to wash your hands, then you squeeze a few squirts of milk, then you go wash your hands again and you move on. So it's a the Minnesota State Fair has changed some since you were there. It's now a dollar for all the milk you can drink, and you have to wash your hands before and after grabbing a cow and giving them a little milk.
Well, I'm glad your home experience wasn't negative there, that you did get a good time with the rest of the things outside of getting kicked off.
It was 100% positive with just this little bit of annoyance. I'm being thrown off the goddamn radio when I'm there with a pink cowboy hat and I'm being the guest and they throw my ass off the radio. We're going to be back after this. 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com. Talking about all sorts of things. Don't give money to NPR. Bye-bye. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette, 866-570-PEN, 7366. That's penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. And I'm sitting here with Michael Goodell, which is not true. That's a complete lie. I'm sitting here in Minnesota alone in a tiny little Minnesota room, and I'm talking to Goodell, who's at my house.
That's right. We're partying.
Has my family left, you know? Because they're driving to L.A. I'm going to meet them there tonight. You probably don't know.
I haven't seen
I just got I'm doing Bill Maher tomorrow. Tomorrow night, real time, I'll be on Bill Maher. And just so you know, I'm going to have, I get the questions all ahead of time. I don't want to break anybody's heart. And the other panelists will be, I got third billing here, but the other panelists are Mary Frances Berry, Representative Daryl Issa, and Penn Jillette. Those are the three guests. And I believe Mary Frances Berry is an African-American woman who talks about racial issues, and Representative Daryl Issa. I don't know where he's representative of. And these are the questions. If you'd like to, call in and tell me what to say, I am just your puppet. I'm your mouthpiece. I will say what you want on Bill Maher's show. That's not true, of course. But if you happen to say something I really like, and you give me permission, I will cop it, and I will use the jokes. If you got a good joke or comment, here's question one. Earlier this week, Iranian President
Ahmadinejad.
Ahmadinejad. I'm going to work on that before tomorrow. Ahmadinejad challenged President Bush to a debate. Should Bush accept? Also, what are America's options in dealing with Iran as it pursues developing nuclear weapons? That's question one on Bill Maher tomorrow night, if news doesn't break tomorrow, of course, but that's what they're planning on. And give a call, 866-570-PEN, 7366. What should Penn say? Now, don't just, you know, say what you think. This has to be in my character, the kind of thing that I would say, the kind of thing Penn Jillette would say on Bill Maher's show about President Mahmoud
Ahmadinejad,
and about the debate with Bush. What should I say about Bush debating
Ahmadinejad? Yeah.
And should Bush accept the debate, and what should we do with America's, what are the options in dealing with Iran? Question two, you can call in on that if you get a good answer. We'll take calls on that. And while Happy Jack is going through your calls, Representative Catherine Harris, who's a Republican from Florida, was quoted recently as saying that voters who don't elect Christians are, in effect, legislating sin.
Voters don't elect Christians are legislating sin?
Voters that don't elect Christians are in effect legislating sin. The effect is important. It makes you sound stupid otherwise. She also called the separation of church and state a lie, which I agree with 100%. Are Christians becoming an embarrassment to Republicans? That's the question that Bill Maher will ask me tomorrow. If you've got an answer, go ahead. But I'm going to take some calls. We're either taking on what should Penn say to Bill Maher about what Bush should do in debating Iranian President
Ahmadinejad.
And the other question is, what should Penn say to Bill Maher about Representative Catherine Harris from Florida saying that Christians should only vote for Christians? Let's take Matt. Let's talk to Matt. What's up, Matt?
How's it going?
Doing very well, thanks. How are you?
Good. Well, first off, George Bush should not take a debate against anybody because he's just a moron.
You were not defending the president of Iran.
Not by any means.
No.
But, I mean, we all know how Bush is, especially in debates, and him talking to anybody about anything, it just comes out very unintelligent, and it's more or less an embarrassment to our country.
Why would you debate? This is what I don't understand. There's no chance Bush is even considering this, is he? I mean, if you're someone that's trying to annihilate us, that calls Israel a Zionist state and wants to take us out, do we give them the time of day? Why would we talk to them? But you just think that Bush is a bad enough debater, he shouldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, we need somebody that's going to be able to debate other countries, but Bush definitely is not one of those people.
What do you mean we need someone who can...
All right, what are you saying?
What do you mean, someone who can debate other countries? Is debating other countries one of the president's jobs?
No.
When has that ever been done before?
He needs to be able to talk to people. We need a president that needs to, like, got to be able to come across as not a moron, not someone that doesn't even know what they're talking about.
But
he never seems to know what he's talking about. He just makes up words and just, you know that. He just blabs on and on.
Okay, it's just kind of Bush bashing. Okay.
Yeah, I guess so. It is Bush bashing, but, you know.
Okay, so let's take Carl. Let's talk to Carl. Thanks a lot. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Bush bashing. I was just, for that moment, I happened to get sick of it. That's all. Let's take Carl. What's up, Carl?
Hey, Penn, how are you, man?
Doing very
well. I listen all the time. You should ask Bill Maher just to make sure you're talking about the same person to spell his name. Just ask, can you spell that for me, Bill, please?
There's only one problem with that brilliant plan, and that is that Bill Maher has cards and he also has prompter.
All right,
what I have to say is, Bill, just for fun, close your eyes and spell his name, would you?
Close
your eyes in a dreamy state and spell his name. That's a good idea. I might do that. Thanks a lot, Carl. Thank you.
No problem.
Why is my wife calling? What's she calling about? What the hell am I? Okay. Yeah.
Hello?
What's up, Easy? Why are you calling me in Minnesota?
Because you wanted to know if I left yet. I haven't left yet. I'm coming home from the airport, and we're leaving in a little while, but I'm having food on a stick craving.
Okay. That's right. That's a very good thing to bring up. We were at the Minnesota State Fair, and they have everything on a stick, everything fried on a stick. We saw, and none of this is being made up, we saw ostrich teriyaki on a stick. We saw spaghetti and meatballs on a stick. I had a pork chop on a stick. And there was deep-fried macaroni and cheese on a stick. And there was a Snickers bar on a stick. So fairs have become just any food. Well, that's the other thing I said on NPR. I said, we'll have this woman here topless on a stick. And when I said topless on a stick, and I said roll her in beer batter, and you guys will flock on over. They just want to do that. Let's go with line two. Let's talk to Chris. I'm saying the line number because I'm in another city. How you doing, Chris?
Chris is on.
Pretty
my
good. How are you,
right
Ben?
There,
never better, boss. How are you?
Good. I just think a debate between Bush and the Iranian president is crazy, because why should we care about a debate between two religious fanatics? It's insane to even want to know what either of them has to say to each other.
It really is just a forum. I mean, they're not, what are they going to talk about besides religion? I mean, the whole thing is tied in with that. I mean, it's not like there's anything besides we're infidels. No, you're infidels. You know, that kind of thing back and forth. So that's a good point. I don't know if that's what I'm going to say to Bill Maher, but he does have me on. You know, he has me on as the kind of token nut atheist. So maybe I should.
Well, I think you are the nut, and you should go for it. I mean, that's really your job, right? I mean, that's why they have you on.
Good, very good point. Very good point. You are a very good, very good piece of advice. Thanks a lot. Let's talk to Aaron. What's up, Aaron?
Hold on. There he is. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Aaron. This
hey, Kudo.
Aye.
Hey, Aaron.
Someone knows your license plate.
That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, I got some boudin for you, Michael.
Thank
you. Listen, I was just telling your screener that Catherine Harris's statements are completely absurd. But if she insists that people elect Christians and those Christians don't do a good job, I think that it's important that instead of impeachment, they should be thrown into a coliseum with lions.
Okay. So you just want everything done in kind, is that right?
Yeah, well, you know, it just says for eye for an eye, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it also says that adulterers should be stoned to death. Anybody that works on Sunday should be killed. I mean, anyone who is a Christian today in this country is a buffet Christian, you know, that's
sure.
A smorgasbord Christian. They just walk to one another and just pick, oh, that's a good line, oh, that's a good line, oh, that's a good line, oh, we'll leave that out. You know, the thing about hating gays and women, we'll leave that out and go with this. And I don't know how they're making the decision. It seems like you're either on the bus or off it. But thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Let's talk to Timothy. What's up, Timothy?
How you doing, Pat? You know, I just want to say first that I agree with about almost all of your views, and I love the way you argue them.
Thank you.
And as far as Bush debating the zealot from Iran, I think he should just send Cheney in his shotgun and tell him he's going to
Yeah, that's the answer. I mean, I don't know why... When someone is talking about getting all-out nuclear war, getting nuclear powers, talking about Zionists and Israel, why they would consider treating him with as much respect as they are. I just think that's amazing. So thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for calling. If you want to know, the other question we'll be talking about is that fewer Americans believe in the theory of evolution than any other Western country except Turkey. Should California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger sign the bill to legalize the production of industrial hemp? Why isn't President Bush getting more credit for the strong economy? Should Emmy host Conan O'Brien have cut his opening bit involving a plane crash on a weekend in which the nation was still absorbing the news of an actual crash that killed 49 people? I'll answer that one. You know, we hosted the Emmys, the technical Emmys, what used to be called the technical Emmys, now the creative arts Emmys. And I'll tell you, you're so busy that day that nobody follows the news, you know? You remember that day of the Emmys, and that isn't even that isn't the high pressure live on TV. Emmys. We were taped for TV, and I don't know. I think that Conan O'Brien should apologize for nothing. I think he should say, also, if your relatives, if someone you love has died in a horrible plane crash, why the hell are you watching TV? Why the hell are you watching the Emmys? Why don't you go and grieve like you're supposed to grieve and leave the rest of us who aren't grieving to laugh at Conan O'Brien? I'm totally on Conan's side for this. Who is the real winner of the Israel-Lebanon conflict? That's a great question, because there's going to be a winner there. Anytime there are bombs thrown from one side to the other, people being shot, you're bound to have a winner, a big winner. And then we're supposed to be prepared to discuss the first anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, which I will be able to say.
Did you send Katrina presents?
What's that?
Did you send her gifts?
No, I didn't.
For her first anniversary and all.
But I mean, you're from Louisiana.
I am, yes.
Do you think, I mean, should people live below sea level, or should we just say Louisiana's gone?
Well, right now I live in the desert, so.
Yeah, exactly.
we should run a pipe directly from New Orleans to Lake Mead.
You have voted with your feet.
I have voted
with your feet. Okay, we're kind of closing up right now. I want to tell everybody, just in case you didn't hear, MPR, not N, but MPR, Minnesota Public Radio, home of Garrison Keillor, threw my ass off the radio. I was wearing a pink hat. I was talking. The crowd was digging me. I was talking about the NPR host topless, and then all of a sudden it goes into lowrider just because I said I didn't give a good goddamn. This is Penn Jillette. I do give a good goddamn on Free FM. Penn Jillette, Penn Radio. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. So long, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow with Bob friggin' Saget. Saget will be on tomorrow. Saget.